Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
He does the research, analyzes the data, and checks the variables. He even submits his findings for peer review. He's the only man with a lab coat made entirely from NFL bed sheets. He's data scientist Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus. Only on the program.
Eric Eager, data scientist, joins us here. Fourth quarter of the program. We finished strong with Eric Eager, one of the brightest minds in football when it comes to covering the National Football League and football in general. You can get no better than the shining star at Pro Football Focus. That is Eric Eager. He's brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. Right now, cleanliness absolutely essential, and Zero Res has lowered their prices to try and serve as many people as possible. While many of us are stuck at home, their vans are running at 100% capacity to clean and disinfect homes in the area. Zero Res lab tested and proven to remove more soils and bacteria than any other method out there. Plus, they have options to additionally disinfect your home and hard surfaces when clean truly matters. Only Zero Res will do. You can schedule your Zero Res cleaning today and get three rooms of carpet clean for just $99 online at ZeroResKC.com. That's ZeroResKC, Zero Res spelled the same, forward and backwards, and I can't recommend them any more highly than the incredible work that they did. They just were absolutely fantastic. I thought we were absolutely replacing carpet after my little one threw up Kool-Aid. You're like, that's a game changer. That's it. We're done. No chance. And I'll tell you what, you can't even tell where the spot was. Unbelievable the job Zero Res did, and they can clean more than just carpet. So if you need a deep clean at your house, go to ZeroResKC.com. Three rooms of carpet right now for just $99. Locally owned and operated. Great folks there at Zero Res. Eric Eager, welcome to the Sprint guest line. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. Just hanging in there. I think we've given our kids everything except for the coronavirus at this point.
You just handed it out whenever they want. Here it is. I mean, got to do something to keep you quiet.
iPad. We got one, a hammock. I think like we went and got a trampoline. I mean, it's unbelievable. And we've been quarantined about it like a little longer than you guys have. And just, they're just wearing us down at this point.
How old are they?
7 and 5.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's an age where, like, you know, you're full-on participant. I get Heisman'd for the electronic devices nowadays, right? The iPads are an incredible invention that is out there. And so I get the Heisman, the streaming, the shows, the videos. I'm in a little bit better place than you are with the age of my kids. So I feel for you, buddy. Yeah, you're in it to win it there, man. You are in it to win it. But everyone's healthy though. That's what matters.
Yeah, and my wife's a teacher. She's home from school. She's doing a great job with them while I work on the football. So you know, but it's just like, yeah, it's a grind every day, as you know.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is, man. It is. But, you know, we'll come out the other end. And you know what? One day we'll cherish this extra time we have with our families. One day we will. I got a great thing from a buddy of mine. Little funny ha-ha, right? We take it serious. We give you the news updates at the bottom of the hour, but we also try to laugh to get through it all together. And he sent me this thing. It's this guy with this big, deep, you know, kind of like movie announcer voice. And, you know, like the coming this summer type of voice.
Yeah.
And he goes, it starts out, it goes, you're going to be quarantined for COVID-19. Do you A, quarantine with your wife and kids? B, and the guy goes, B, right? Before he ever says what B is. And it just like cuts the guy off, B, right? And it's honestly, I've said that to every married couple I know, because I think it's one of the funniest things. You could flip it around and say, you know, they should probably do one where it says, Yeah, would you be quarantined with your husband and kids, or B, you know, have a woman's voice going, B, you know, like anything but this. But you know what? In the end, we come out this, if we can all come out healthy on the other end, I think we'll cherish some of this extra family time we got. And, you know, I miss friends, you know, miss seeing everybody and getting together. But we do what we got to do, man. We do what we got to do. The NFL doing what they've got to do. Are you with me? Let me get a couple of NFL topics with you before we get into the Chiefs, and that is back in the draft up. I am vehemently opposed to back in the draft up. Like, America needs the draft. Send everybody home. Don't let anybody go back to the facilities. Tell everybody can go back to the facilities. And then let's press on with the draft. And I didn't realize this. Adam Schefter, who comes on with us during the season, had the same idea, and so I echo it. Why not have a round a night for seven consecutive nights? You know what? If you want to break the first round into two nights, all right, and give them 30 minutes a pick, I am on board. Give them more time for every pick, and then let's just stretch it out longer. But America, football fans in America, need the NFL draft as a distraction. And so since everybody will be, as long as you can make it that everybody's under the same circumstance, why wouldn't the NFL press on?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are people right now, it may or may not be me, who are, like, betting on mad games that are happening right now on Twitch. So, like, I mean, people want their...
Can I just real quick, before you press on, there's no may or may not on Eager.
This is a one-outcome situation.
Yeah, and if you don't know, if you're like, oh, I've never really heard this guy, I'm not sure how it is, just keep listening to all our Eager segments. Catch him on the podcast if you miss him. You'll quickly pick up on whether he is or is not betting on football games being played on Twitch.
But here's the thing. I agree with you. And in the people right now, okay, first off, it is a little bit rough as an appearance when people are struggling financially and the like, to now dole out millions of dollars to players, right? Like that, but we've already, that ship has sailed. We already did free agency. The draft is giving people who are probably broke money, right? Which is, you know, is not a terrible look. The people who want the draft moved back, the GMs and all that, they just want more time. I don't think it's a social responsibility thing. It can be wrapped up and look like that, but I think it's more just they want to be more prepared, right?
Yeah, and they're creatures of habit, and their habits have been taken away from them, and so they're freaking out, which I get it. We all are.
Yes, but the thing about it is you are in an entertainment industry, and now I say this knowing fully well that we could have, you know, we could shut this quarantine down, I'll go out and start our lives again and have it restart again and miss football this year. Like, that's a possibility. I don't think it's that probable, but it's certainly something that could happen. But football lucked into this from a timing perspective because, you know, it happened right after the scouting combine, you know, more or less, and it's about as far away from the season as it could get. Like, to me, you know, football needs to lean into this a little bit if they want to sort of continue to have eyeballs on their product, and I agree with you. I mean, I don't think about putting maybe around a day because I don't think you get any viewers that last day, but I think about breaking up the first round maybe into like 3 or 4 days. And that way you sort of have the let's say it's 4 days and it's pick 8 and pick 9, and there's going to be a lot of action, you know, whether it be trades or whatever in between those. I think it adds a lot of really fun discussion topics. It also, I mean, the fact of the matter is, and you talk about this on your show, like, people like to bet on things. And the draft is, like, literally the thing on the NFL that you can bet on, that, or sports in general, that you can bet on, and you're going to get your money by the end of April. Everything else, there's no sports, right? People are betting on Australian rules football, and that got taken away. Like, you know, and so if you make it into a multi-day event, you could, you know, increase economic activity that way, especially in states that have legal gaming. So there's so many reasons why this should happen at the end of April, and we all understand the risks, we all understand how it looks, but at the same time, events like this keep people inside and watching sports as opposed to violating, you know, restrictions and things like that, which they are more likely to do if there isn't something on for people to watch.
Well, and I don't see where there's any risk for the NFL people. I had a guy, I went on this passion plea that, please, I get it. I respect your opinions. I understand why you want to do it, but I respectfully disagree, and I want the NFL draft. And a guy called and said, how can you be so selfish and ask these people to risk their lives for your entertainment? I'm not. Go stay at home. I'm just saying you don't have to have a room full of people to make a draft pick. And I forget the Saints GM who's like, hey, listen, it's in a group of names on a piece of paper that you just cross off like in a fantasy draft. No, it really is. It actually really is.
I mean, have you seen the history of people drafting in the NFL? It's not that, how hard can it be? A person drafted Ryan Leaf second overall. The Raiders drafted Clelin Ferrell fourth last year.
Yes. Yes.
It's like that scene in Joe Dirt. You're not that fancy. Your name's Joe Dirt.
I always think when it's time to make a great social point, we should reference the movie Joe Dirt. So good job out of you, Eric, in finding that. Mickey Loomis, by the way, the Saints. Curtis reminded me, Mickey Loomis, the Saints GM. Yeah, but he's like, dude, it's not that simple because you've made it that complex, right? But you literally don't. I remember John Dorsey talking about how every prospect, every single one of their people has gone through and looked at it and written a report. Well, that's great. I mean, you can email a report. Right. Yeah. You can send the video via, because one of the things that I read what it said, who they're allowing in the league offices, they're allowing the medical people to continue taking care of the players who have medical stuff that they're rehabbing. And they're allowing the IT guys to make sure everybody can work at home. And so you're getting it all at home. And if you're not, then let the league know. The competition committee agreed to this. Let the league know and turn off whatever everybody else can't get. You can figure out what everybody can get. You ought to be able to get all these videos, which are all, they're all watching on computers and everything anyway. You can watch them all. Then you have a conference call and a video call just like the rest of America is doing now. And I think when you're asking, the medical people to go and continue to do what they're doing, man, if there's a football fan that's a nurse or a doctor, you think he wouldn't like to come home on his probably 8 hours he's not at the hospital and taking a little draft to unwind and relax? You bet he would. And so to me, with all the things that are going on out there, it's a no-brainer. I don't need to pound it in any more than that, but I just it really isn't any more complicated than crossing a name off a list. It's not. That's what the league does. They cross the guy's name off so that nobody else can draft him. That's literally, at the end of the day, all the crap that they do at the end of the day, it literally is just crossing a name off the list. They're just much more thorough in building their list. That's it. That's the only difference.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people, it's with every single job, right? Every job is somewhere between harder and easier than everybody thinks it is, right? And I think some people don't want to look in and say, it's actually not that difficult to pick, players, or the fact that there are some teams who are literally, a lot of their draft prep, or it's not a lot, but some of their draft prep is compiling mock drafts from the internet, to sort of think about what the market's like. Hey, there are a lot of things here, and I think trying to make it act like it's some sort of like they're trying to fight the coronavirus, in the early stages. Let's not. It's football. It's football. Don't spice it up. Your name is Joe Dirt.
At the end of the day, they need this massive amount of time, energy, and resources that were devoted to the draft, so that when a pick does suck, they go, but wait a minute. We went to Alabama and worked him out there. We flew him here and interviewed him. We watched every game he's played at Alabama. We watched his high school tape. We sent a guy out. We talked to people in his hometown to find out if he was a jerk. We sent a guy in undercover, one of our scouts that looks young, to walk around the bars in Tuscaloosa and find out if he's a jackass or buying drugs. We did our own background check. We did this. We did that. We did so he sucks, but it's not our fault, right? We have this mountain of here's why we did what we did to justify it. But at the end of the day, you're in the get it right business, and nobody will have that mountain. Whatever data you don't have to justify your pick, it's not there for anybody else. That to me is what's, it's all fair. I brought up something, I can't remember who I was talking to and having a conversation. He's like, is it going to be fair for everyone? He goes, no, it'll some teams. I said, no, wait a minute. If the rules are the same, it's fair for everyone. right? I mean, you know, the Royals can spend as much money as the Yankees. They can. They're not in a market that generates as much, but they can spend as much. That rule is the same. They hit the luxury tax at the same point. Is it a better, does it work better for the Yankees? Yes, it's fair in the sense that the Royals owners bought their team knowing what the rules are, and now they have to live by those rules. So that is fair. It's harder for the Royals, but it's fair. It's the same thing that'll happen in this draft. Let's leave that because I'll go on for days on that. Let's go to Cam Newton. Where should Cam Newton land? Where will he land?
Yeah, that's a really tricky question because obviously the Patriots seem like a good fit, except for they don't have any money and they should be tanking, right? They don't have a second-round pick. They have a ton of picks next year. They have a ton of money next year. It makes a whole lot of sense for them to tank. And so I would cross that off, both they should and will, although it could happen. I think maybe Miami could be a good choice if they decide to go and draft a quarterback, or even if they decide to be in a holding pattern for 1 year, Newton could be a player that helps them, you know, win some games. Obviously, the Chargers were a classic case, although the Chargers appear to be that type of team, you know, a la Cleveland in 2018. It's, oh, wink, wink, Tyrod's our quarterback, and we're going to draft one at six. And you know, so if you want to come get Justin Herbert, you better trade for that pick, because I don't think, you know, that many teams actually like Justin Herbert. So it's tricky, and he's such a superstar that him being a backup quarterback probably wouldn't be, you know, in the cards for him. I could see him retiring, given, you know, the amount of wear and tear on his body. You know, he had negative 2 yards rushing in the starts last year. Like, he's not the same player if he can't run the football, especially the way that he runs it. And so, you know, maybe it's just the end for him, but there are some teams for which he could be viable, I think.
All right, and I agree. Let's go deeper on the tanking. I would buy that the Pats are tanking because I think Bill Belichick could do it, and who's got more clout, right? Who's got more equity with a fan base or
Andy
an ownership
Reed,
group
maybe.
To be able to go do it than Bill Belichick. But why sign McCourty? Like, that's the part that doesn't fit, unless it's like, listen, I think he can play for 2 or 3 years, and so we're going to keep him in the mix, and he alone isn't going to be enough. And the first time he has any kind of soreness, we're going to sit him out of a game, and we'll kind of tank that way. That's the only part that everything else the Patriots have done, they've let everybody else go. Now, you said it. They don't have a lot of money, right? Do you think that Belichick is going to tank?
Well, as you said, I think he's got the most equity of any single any coach in the league right now. So if anybody is able to do that, it's him. The McCourty thing and the Joe Tooney applying the franchise tag to him are questionable. But maybe there was a part of it that was, you know, just trying to see if there's one last chance Brady's going to come back, although it doesn't seem like they made a realistic effort to keep Brady around. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, McCourty's still, you know, talented. He's still probably part of a good defense 2 years from now. And I think Tooney might be the same thing, although it seems like they might want to trade him. We in Kansas City know that the trading a player on the franchise tag isn't trivial. But, yeah, that's the one thing that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But everything else, and the fact that there are two quarterbacks next year in the draft, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, who I think are worthy of the number one overall pick, I think all of that makes sort of going with Stidham and Hoyer, you know, Hoyer if Stidham is a complete disaster, you know, really preferable for the New England Patriots.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. He is the data scientist. He's with us here in the program brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. Right now, you can get 3 rooms cleaned, 3 carpets, 3 rooms worth of carpet cleaned for just $99. Go online to ZeroResKC.com. Carpet and so much more. They can also disinfect your home and hard surfaces. Go to ZeroResKC.com. More with Eric Eager next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Been doing that a few years.
Cool, long time.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour. Answer, Marcus Allen, 60 today. What quarterback threw the last touchdown pass that Allen caught?
Oh.
In 1997 with the Chiefs.
So ended in 97. So that would have been, what, 95 was Bono, 97 was Gerback and Gannon. So it would seem to be one of those two, right? But that would seem too easy as well. So it makes me think there was some wide receiver reverse, or did like a third stringer come in late to mop up because Gerbach was still down and Gannon was starting. So who would have been behind Gannon?
Cold.
Oh, I'm cold? Oh.
Yeah.
Wide receiver? Running back type?
Quarterback. No? It was quarterback.
Quarterback?
It was a quarterback.
Well, then I'm just going to say Rich Gannon.
Can you believe Joe Montana in 1993? Allen played here 5 years. He did not catch a touchdown pass in any of his last four seasons with the Chiefs.
Oh, my God. That is a great question. Like, right, Montana, somebody might actually get that right for being totally just like, oh, I don't know, they played together. So I guess Montana. It's like, you know that you didn't play together for like 3 years. You'd have to, like, talk him away from it. And then, oh, that's awesome. I love that question.
Took a
that's
swing really pass great. Against the Bills in 93 and didn't catch another one the rest of his career.
Full meals for $5. That's what you can get at Good Sense. Good Sense to go. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com. Right now you'll see it. They got a big thing up on the screen. They're just $5, and it's a full meal. Everything you need. Listen, one of the ways, this is great for you and the family. If you're like, look, I don't want to go to the store. I don't want to do that. I just want to get the food and not have to shop and spend, you know, an hour in the grocery store waiting in line. Go to Good Sense right now. Good Sense to go. Grilled Alaskan salmon, classic pot roast, naked chicken and veggies, meatloaf, all of them with the side dishes and everything in it. Comes in a great plastic container. You put it in and warm it up. And, of course, all their wonderful pasta dishes that you're used to as well. They've got those. You can, of course, yes, get their sandwiches. Just $5 for the Good Sense to go meals. They are really, really popular. And one of the things that's great is to grab a bunch of those different meals. You can take a whole variety of meals over if you've got a senior citizen you're taking care of, family, friends, or maybe someone who's got a compromised immune system and they want a good, fresh, home-cooked meal. You can get it from Good Sense. They got them to go. They're just $5 each. They're also selling their sliced meats for $5 a pound and their sliced cheeses for $5 a pound. 75 cents for a 12-inch loaf of their wonderful bread that they bake fresh twice each day. Thanks to our friends at Good Sense, locally owned and operated. Found it in Lenexa, Kansas, 30 years ago, thanks to our friends at Good Sense for all the great work that they're doing as a great restaurant here in Kansas City. We're talking to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Data scientist is with us here in the program. Let's talk about Mike Pinnell and Anthony Sherman signing. Your reaction to the two of them signing? Pinnell, obviously the one that leads us to Chris Jones, and whether or not that means anything to you when it comes to the future of Chris Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Pinnell, he was a pretty good player. You know, when they brought him in, he's always sort of been pretty good. And interesting that he's never really been valued, in the league. Sherman's a guy, at this point, he's a special teams player, although he made a really good block on Damien Williams' touchdown to steal the Super Bowl win. But it all points to Jones. And the thing is, the Chiefs are making basically a few signings here and there that will sort of keep them under the cap. But, it's just a matter of time, I think, before they either release Sammy Watkins or probably preferably trade Jones to a different team.
All right. So there's no offers right now, seemingly, for Chris Jones. Is that starting? Should that make Chiefs fans? Should that make the Chiefs organization, Brett Veach and Andy Reid, nervous? Or do you think there are a lot of offers and they're just playing their hand cool leading up to the draft, hoping that they can get a bidding war going?
Well, I think the DeForest Buckner thing really hurt them. Buckner, I think there are people who think Buckner is better than who's better than Jones all around, but there's really no reason that he should be considered any sort of like less valuable. And so when the Colts go ahead and give up the 13th pick and $21 million a season to Buckner, that makes it really hard for the Chiefs because you're basically in a position now where you have to either bite the bullet and get less, right, for a player who's probably just as good, or pay him the $21 million per season that Buckner's going to get and Jones is no doubt going to want sort of as a you know, as a compensation, and that puts you in a really tough spot because I don't think you're going to get pick 13 or better for Jones, and they're in no position to pay him $21 million a season. So at this point, I think that they're probably just in a holding pattern right now, which really hurts them because it keeps them from making a decision on Sammy Watkins. It keeps them from making you know, additional moves in free agency.
All right, so what's your gut tell you how this is going to play out?
I think they do. I think they end up getting less for Jones, picking, you know, maybe getting a couple picks that are like, you know, second and third, second and fourth type of thing. They don't get that first round pick they really covet, but I think it ultimately ends up being good for them because they don't have to, you know, as we talked about the last time I was on air, they don't put all their eggs in just a few baskets defensively, and they're allowed to, you know, after the Mahomes contract, still stay a viable team.
Is there any scenario that you look at this and you say it's leading towards them keeping Chris Jones?
I don't think so. I mean, again, the price is just too high, right? And they've already gone in and said, you know, Frank Clark is our defensive playmaker, especially in the front seven. Matthews, our playmaker in the deep part of the field, and Jones just doesn't see it. It doesn't seem like smart football to pay three of your defenders that much money. Well, and then Anthony Hitchens as well, and his contract is still a kind of a troublesome thing for them. So I don't know. I can see them maybe playing the season out under the tags, considering it's $5 million less per year than what Buckner got. But that is going to require them to be weaker on offense because of, you know, getting rid of Watkins and you know, probably Duvernay-Tardif and maybe Sorensen as well.
I feel like that I'm with you. I think that deal may scare some people away, that if the Chiefs are like, hey, our guy's better, you got to give us more. If I'm the Chiefs, I try to muddy. I think you're now looking because no one's going to give you pick 12, 11, 10. And I'm like, did the Colts – do you like that move for the Colts, first of all?
No. The problem with a defensive interior player is, like, on a per-play basis, they're not generating – I mean, the Colts weren't bad last year because they failed to get pressure. They were bad because their quarterback left the team 2 weeks before the season started, and they didn't have a number two wide receiver. And, you know, at pick 13, you fail. You're not going to be able to get your – you're giving that up. You're not going to be able to draft a quarterback of the future. You're not going to get one of a plenty, you know, a plentiful wide receiver class. So it's tricky for them because it's no longer really – it's no longer trivial – how to make that team better on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they did get Phillip Rivers, but that's, you know, he still needs people to throw to, and they still need people to cover on the back end.
Does that smell like Jim Irsay is, like, putting pressure on them already? That, like, Chris Ballard, who was doing a great job of building a great roster, and now he's faced with a challenge that so many teams find themselves with. It's what made that job worth taking, even with Jim Irsay's goofiness looking over your shoulder, was that you had Andrew Luck. Now, you know, that piece is gone, and that doesn't smell like a Chris Ballard move. Ballard has traded down and maximized picks time and time again, and now here he goes throwing a top pick. I kind of get the 13 where he's almost like, listen, I'll do this because, you know, it's just one spot, and I got my other picks. Lots of them that are going to be cheaper players to keep anyway. And so maybe that's part of the reason why he didn't mind putting in 13. He knows it's a bit of an overpay, but it's like, hey, it's a big chunk of the cap anyway. I'm going to have to pay this guy. Let's at least take off the $4 or $5 million guy that I was going to have to pay here. And so cap-wise, it makes a little bit more sense. But and I bring it up just because I think the Colts, I'd love to see him make a stupid decision and fire what I think is a really good general manager. Does that you view it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I think the tricky part for them, and, you know, Chiefs fans have seen this before with, you know, with Jared Allen, right? When the Vikings traded a first and two thirds for Jared Allen, you know, the Chiefs got back Brandon Albert and Jamal Charles. And not only did the Vikings have to give up that much to get Allen, but they also had to sign him to a huge deal. That's a double whammy. I get giving up 13 for Buckner on his rookie deal. I don't necessarily get, and I can kind of see where somebody's coming from in terms of paying him all that money without having to give up a pick, but both of them just seems like a really, you know, kind of dumping a lot of your assets. A la Cleveland last season, you know, when they traded 17 Jabril Peppers, and I think a third for Odell Beckham. It's like, okay, we've made all these great decisions for years accumulating assets, and now I'm getting impatient. So let me give away all of it at once for this player that's a big new shiny object type of thing.
Right. We're talking right now to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. What do you think the effect of Dak Prescott's negotiations are? Word is that they're back talking in Dallas and that he wants a shorter deal. He clearly is looking more like a Kirk Cousins deal, guarantee it all, but get me back out on the market as the cap rises. I don't want to be locked in at this rate. Does that affect, do we think that that's going to be what we start hearing out of Patrick Mahomes' camp? Is that, you know, because I get it, right? I mean, it's less, if you can get $95 million guaranteed, you know, like the Kirk Cousins got $96 million, all of it guaranteed. If you can make it $110 million, right, $35 million a year, and then get back out on the market where the going rate for quarterbacks might be $45, you know, and you play the only position in football, well, maybe along with kicker and punter, that doesn't routinely get hurt. I get it. Like, yeah, I'm rolling the dice, but if I get the whole thing guaranteed here on 3 years, I really get everything I got, or almost everything I get, from a longer deal, and so better to get out there when the number's higher. I'm worried as a Chiefs fan that that's going to be the new model for everybody out there.
Yeah, but at the same time, I get that, especially as a Chiefs fan. I don't like the idea that Mahomes is going to play for 3 years and he's going to it sort of feels LeBron James like, right? Where
yeah.
You know, you're constantly worried that the entire thing that your franchise is running on, it could leave at any point in time, right? That being said, I think with a guy like Mahomes, the reason Dallas isn't paying Prescott 5 years, $150 million. Is because he's not that good. I mean, he can have a good season. Last year he was actually very good. 2 years prior, he was not. He was a bottom half of the league quarterback. And the reason why the Washington Redskins didn't want to pay Kirk Cousins is because he isn't very good. I mean, he's similar to Prescott. You don't have similar things when it comes to guys like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and players of that ilk. Andy Dalton, we're looking into his now the team can get out from under. All those players, I get it, and I think that's the model. I think with a player like Mahomes, you know, the length and the length and the size of the deal are like rounding errors at this point, right? I mean, you're not skimping money on Mahomes. You do skimp money on Prescott, and you do skimp money on Kirk Cousins because they're players where the supporting cast is not trivial, right? With Mahomes, it is. I mean, Mahomes is the franchise at this point. And so I'm not that worried because I think, like, you know, we're going to be talking a huge deal with quite a bit of length.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm hoping you're right. Finally, Sammy Watkins. He's still there, man. He's obviously at least plan B. And I don't think that the Chiefs are the type of team that's like, hey, we're just going to hold him out there to where all the money's gone and then stick it to him and release him. You know, why not a deal, an extension done, or a trade, or what do you make of where we sit as Sammy Watkins continues to be a Chief, but at least what we've been told, there's been no change to his contract status.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear here that they want him to stay, but they don't want to stay. They are not going to keep him if the money's not right. And I think Watson's group is basically saying, you know, look at the free agency class, Robbie Anderson, Rashad Perriman, Cooper got a pretty good deal, you know, but he went to, like, the free agency class is not all that good, you know, and so I think Watson's camp was basically thinking, you know, if he were to become a free agent, he'd probably get a decent deal, not one that he got, you know, but maybe a little bit higher than what he got. And then, you know, the circumstances when he signed with Kansas City are different than they are now. I think the Tyreek Hill situation stabilized enough where Sammy knows that he's going to be at best the third option in Kansas City. They also drafted Mecole Hardman, right? So, you know, Watkins, the pastures could have been greener on the other side for him. And so that's why they probably held out a little bit on his end. And then on the Chiefs end, it's clear that he does add value to their offense. He's a very, you know, not a very valuable piece, but a valuable enough piece. So, you know, I think they're holding out for the time when, you know, they can get, you know, either it becomes clear that they got to get rid of him, and then maybe they can trade him to one of these teams that is holding out. I mean, Minnesota just traded Stephon Diggs, and, you know, a lot of teams are like, well, the draft is extremely replete with wide receivers. If a team doesn't get the receiver they want in the draft, maybe the Chiefs can trade Sammy Watkins to that team. But the way that I see it, I think that they want him around. They're waiting on, you know, the dominoes to fall. Eventually his camp will relent on the money, and, you know, he'll be a part of the team. But I could be wrong, and they could be get rid of him the moment they need it. They need his money with the Mahomes deal or something having to do with Jones.
All right, Final Four time for you, Eric. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus is with us. Our Final Four brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute. You can wait in line online, of course, and they've got a urgent care, an ortho urgent care, open 7 days a week. Find out more at kcoi.com. I'll start you with this. Do you get on the trampoline you told us about earlier?
I have not yet. I did before. When I lived in La Crosse, we had a bigger trampoline, and I certainly ran around in that with the kids. But not, this one's kind of small. So the girls are mostly the users.
Okay. Next question. Is Chris Jones in Kansas City in 2020?
I still say no.
Okay. Just like to update on that. Can you do a flip on the trampoline?
No. I'm far too big for that now.
Oh, back in the day. You were one of the Luendas, right? Willendas, flipping and twisting and turning and all that. But now you're too jacked.
If my college numbers, if I ran, because I used to run like a 4.6 and 37.5 inch vert. I just wasn't big enough or, frankly, good enough at football. But back in the day, I was an athlete, but I am not anymore.
I would like to dispute the 4.6. I would like to see concrete proof of the 4.6 40. Just curious. All right, and finally, what are you binging right now? What are you watching to replace football besides the obvious Pats games on Stitch?
Oh, wow. I've been watching, and I don't, you know, I've been watching things like Margin Call and Big Short and Too Big to Fail. Obviously, we're all a little worried about our 401ks right now. So I've been watching that a little bit. But honestly, I probably have watched the NFL Films, like, 40-minute rendition of the Chiefs-49ers game 24 times. I mean, honestly, like, goosebumps. I get goosebumps every single time. So it's mostly NFL Films and specifically what could be the last Super Bowl in the history of mankind. Not to get over-dramatic.
Yeah. Let's, you know, that would be Chiefs-esque, right? Like, we said that had the virus hit, like, in December and the Chiefs didn't get to go to the Super Bowl, that would have been the ultimate Chiefian moment. But we wouldn't have known. We'd have said, well, they weren't going to win anyway, right? We wouldn't even have known. But that would have been the ultimate Chiefs moment. But maybe not. Maybe you've come up with something more, that the virus gets us all and there's never another Super Bowl again. That would be, we've got a team poised to be the dominant force. We got just a taste with one championship, and then that's it. No more Super Bowls to be played. I don't think that's going to be the case. Nor do you, I know. Eric.
I certainly don't. I was just joking, but yeah.
Yes, I know. No, listen, hey, we joke because that's what we got to do to get through these difficult times. Hey, brother, always love talking to you. You know that. You're great at what you do. Keep up the great work, and keep sharing some of your time with us every now and then, because we certainly enjoy it.
Yeah, man, with staying at home all this, I've been listening to your show every day. You guys are doing great, and I appreciate you guys and the content that you guys are putting out. So, yeah, man, we'll get through this together.
Yeah, you're a good man. Stay healthy. Stay safe, my friend. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, great data scientist there, the great work that they all do there at Pro Football Focus. Eager's a man. He's a Chiefs fan, and he's a great, great guy. So glad to hear he and his family are doing well. We will take a break. We will come back, give you some things you need to know, some good stuff, who's given what to help out in these difficult times, some NFL moves. Alex Smith picks up an award. Some talk about the Major League Baseball draft, what will happen there. We'll do that next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
I do have better command of the language and nuances and inflections than you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm going to
tell you what you All right, we'll start with the good news, and that is people doing some great, great things. Drew Brees and his wife, Brittany, announcing a $5 million commitment to the state of Louisiana in 2020 to, quote, help our communities get through this tough time. That is big time. Drew Brees gave a lot of time, energy, and money back after Hurricane Katrina, and here he and his wife are doing it again to help out the state of Louisiana.
Just want to add, I just saw a tweet. Orleans Parish has the highest per capita of infections and deaths in the country. So
yeah, they think it stems from Mardi Gras, the big festivities they had. Everyone getting together at Mardi Gras, they think, is where everybody got infected there. Fanatics, which makes the official MLB uniforms, is halting production on those uniforms, but they're not stopping working. They're turning their materials into masks and gowns to be donated to hospital workers. They'll first be distributed in Pennsylvania, where a factory is located, then in New York and New Jersey. So bravo to Fanatics. I know a number of other companies are out there. If I had their names, I would put it out there. But great job out of the folks at Fanatics. I think I might go buy me a baseball jersey to support that company for what they're doing. So that is awesome. Speaking of baseball, the Major League Baseball draft increasingly likely to happen in July, though it could be shortened and include bonus deferrals. Sources familiar with the situation told ESPN. More changes due to COVID. The NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously today to distribute $225 million to Division I schools in June. That is less than half of what had previously been budgeted. This is following the cancellation, of course, of the NCAA basketball tournament, another winter and spring championships because of the coronavirus. So a lot less money going to your schools. Now we'll see how that affects the athletic departments of these schools. Lamar Jackson has filed a lawsuit against Amazon. I think this is interesting. Did this on Wednesday, claiming the world's largest retailer, internet-based retailer, is allowing third-party vendors to sell unlicensed merchandise using his likeness and registered trademarks. Doesn't like bootleg T-shirts being sent all over the place, and he wants his cut. And then, sadly, my favorite Globetrotter, for 22 years, Fred Curly Neal, the great dribbling point guard, he has passed away at age 77. Rest in peace, Curly Neal.